our
month of giving emphasis by talking about something that every church has the same response when you say the word that I'm getting ready to say. And that is the tithe. I can hear the air leave people when you say that word, the tithe. And it's so funny to me because the tithe is such a small thing in the grand scheme of things. Now, the tithe is derived originally from the Old Testament. It's a principle that goes all the way back to Abraham. Before Abraham ever even got to where he was going, he encountered some things. There was a priest that came alongside Abraham. The priest, it was a picture of Christ, the high priest Melchizedek. He came alongside Abraham after a battle, and Abraham, he said, here's 10%, here's a tithe of everything I've had. Matter of fact, another king came along and wanted Abraham to give him a tithe of what he had. Abraham said, too late, I done give it to the high priest Melchizedek. I said, too bad, I done tithe. He said, preacher, this is funny. I told you I'm going to teach more than I'm going to preach tonight. Because this is probably the principle of giving that we have the most wrong. The tithe is simple. It is not a complex issue. There's two things I want you to understand about the tithe. Number one, the word tithe literally means 10. That means that there's 10, one portion of that is the tithe. If there's 100, 10 portions of that is the tithe. If there's 1,000, 100 of that is the tithe. Y'all understand how math works? 10%. We use percentages, but the 10th. 1/10. That's what tithe means, 10. Wait a minute now. That ain't the only thing I want you to know about the tithe. I'm going to simplify it even further for you. Because here's what I'm saying. A tithe is 10% of whatever you've got. Okay? Everybody with me, say amen. Now, I have to talk in dollars and cents because we're in America in the 21st century. That's the only thing we understand. Alright? But the tithe is 10%. In case you didn't get that, the tithe is 10%. I've had people tell me, I tithe as much as I can. Well, if it ain't 10%, then it ain't a tithe. I don't know what it is, but it ain't a tithe. It's just an offer. And that's great, but if it ain't on top of the tithe, then you've done missed it before you ever even started. Alright, listen to me now. Tithe is 10%. Everybody with me say amen. The tithe, here's what's important about the tithe. The tithe was never yours to begin with. There's only two things that you can do with a tithe. You can give the tithe, or you can steal the tithe. That's according to God. Malachi chapter number 3, God told the people of Israel, He said, you have robbed me. And they said, wherein have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. I got news for y'all. That's where we're at right now. Amen. You can get all doctrinal if you want to. So if the church ain't the storehouse, where in the world is the storehouse? Yeah. This is it. We're here. That there may be meat in my house. That is to say, to pay for the things that pertain to the church. Amen. That's what the tithe is for. You cannot, there's no choice. The only choice to be made on a tithe is whether you're going to steal it or whether you're going to do with it what's intended to be done with it. It never was yours to begin with. So if you are currently, just hear me out here. I'm not trying to beat on you. I'm trying to help you. If you are currently withholding the tithe, let me simplify it for you. Because I don't want it ever to be said that I didn't tell it plain. So I'm gonna simplify it for you. When you get your paycheck on Friday, if it's $100, $10 of that $100 belongs to God. You say, preacher, I've had people ask me stuff like this. Preacher, is that before taxes or after taxes? Listen to me now. That's something you and God gonna have to come to a conclusion on. Alright? I ain't the tax man. Hear me. That's the wrong question. Listen. If your paycheck on Friday is $100, $10 of that belongs to God. Now, you can choose to give that to God like you're supposed to, or you can choose to keep it, and therein rob God. Say, I don't like that, preacher. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you what God said about it. Alright? And here's what he said about it. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be need in my house. And see, this is the only place in Scripture, in Malachi, where God said, try this and I'll show you. Prove me now herewith. That's what he said. It's the only place where God said, see if I ain't telling you the truth. Right here. He said, prove me now herewith, see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. By the way, he didn't say pour you out a fistful of dollars. He said pour you out a blessing. Understand, we think in monetary terms. God is not bound by those same terms. Okay? See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you may not have room enough to receive. All right? Now, all that being said, I know what some of you are thinking already. And we ain't even got into this yet. I ain't no way I'm finishing this tonight. I'm going to have to speed up. Listen, I know what some of you are thinking already. You're thinking, but preacher, wait a minute. That's in the Old Testament. And it is. And here's the deal. I don't know about you, but I am no longer living in the Old Testament. That is a fact. When I got saved, I was transferred out from under the Old Testament into the New Testament. In my Bible right here, there's a page. There ain't nothing on this page but the words, the New Testament. That tells us that we're transitioning from the old to the new. We're on this side of the page. I 100% agree with you. You say, preacher, all that stuff you just said, Malachi and Abraham and all that stuff, that's Old Testament. And so tithing, that's Old Testament. Wait a minute now. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 23. Before we even get started, I'm going to show you this. Matthew 23, verse number 23. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. And he's calling out their hypocrisy on the things that they do. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Listen to what he says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Now, understand, these people, this was what they sold this stuff, right? This was like valuable stuff, mint and cumin and all these spices and herbs. This is valuable. This is just like having money in them days, trading and bartering, all right? He said, you pay tithe of that, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, pause right there. Let me set this up for you. Jesus told these Pharisees, he said, listen, here's why you're a hypocrite. Because you're tithing, but you're not doing this other stuff that is more important than that. Okay? Notice what he says is more important. He said, verse number 23, he said, judgment is more important. That's doing right. Calling right, right. And wrong, wrong. Mercy, that's loving people when they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And faith, that's what saves you.
That's right. Amen.
All right? Them things are more important than this tithe that you're doing. He's saying, y'all are doing the thing. Here's what he's really saying to them. Y'all are doing the thing that everybody knows about, but you're not doing the stuff that people don't know about. All right? But hear me out. Let's finish the verse. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. You know what he said to him? He said, you should be tithing, but you should also be doing this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I'm about to say before we go any further. If this was the only reference to tithing in Scripture, I would be standing in front of you tonight saying, you should be tithing. Because Jesus just said, you should be tithing.
Right.
Don't get no more plainer than that. Yep. By the way, we're on the New Testament side of the page.
That's right.
Tithing's in the Old Testament, preacher. Well, it's also in the New Testament.
Jesus believed in tithing. That's enough for me. We could just shut that argument down right there. And we're going, because tithing, here's what you need to understand about tithing. And I'm going to get into the message. The tithe is a universal base for giving. Let me say it like this. If you are not giving the tithe, then you are not actually giving. The tithe is a base for giving. Think about it like this. I'm married. Now, to be married, there's a lot of things that are required to make a marriage work. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is necessary to make a marriage work, at the end of the day, when everything else is out the window, is I must have a feeling of love toward this person. If I don't have that, everything else that I'm doing, it's good effort, but I'm missing the thing that starts everything off.
Right.
The tithe is a universal base. The tithe is you saying to God, okay, Lord, I'm submitting to you in a simple matter, a simple issue. Here's what's so interesting to me about the tithe. And I've lived this, but I've seen it so many times. I've seen so many people come into church and they're financially, they're in a bad position, they ain't making no money, all that. And I tell them all the same thing. Hey, first thing you need to do, you want to get your financial house in order, first thing you need to do is be tithing. If you ain't tithing, I'm telling you, that's step one. Show God that you can be faithful in that small thing. And when they're making $250 a week and their tithe is $25, it's easy for them. Then God begins to bless them financially, and their tithe checks start getting bigger and bigger. And somewhere along the way, they decide, this is just too much money. And I always think the same thing. I sure hope God don't think that concerning you. Because I've had weeks where things have gone well, and I thought, man, that's a whole lot of money I got to give to God. And then I thought to myself, I hope the Lord ain't sitting in heaven thinking, that's a whole lot of money I give to Scott this week. I better back off on him a little bit next week.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just a redneck from Bakertown. I can figure that one out. This is a universal base for giving. So here's what I said, all that to say this. All right? I said all that to say this. June is a month that we're designating to have an emphasis on giving. That really don't have anything to do with the tithe. Because if you're not tithing, you ain't giving. If you ain't got this part of it right, then my suggestion to you would be deal with this first. You know how easy it is to tithe? It's almost too easy for me. Sometimes I don't even realize what I'm doing. But we have an app now. Man, 2024 something, man. When my paycheck goes in my bank account, I pull up that app, Tithely app, punch in 10% of my paycheck, and it's done. I say, preacher, why are you harping on this? Because there's so many people that are missing the basic financial blessing of God, which is knowing that your finances are right with God, so that when you become in dire financial straits, you know you have access to God's help. So many people are missing that basic, fundamental building block of having a relationship with Jesus. But that's not really what this is all about. I just wanted to get that to clear the air on that right out of the gate. Let me show you some other types of giving that I think are important. Let's leave the tithe behind for now. Number one, in this same chapter, in the chapter that we started in, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to show you that God shows us some things about what I've termed joyful giving. 2 Corinthians 9, let's pick up in verse number 4. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Remember, he was telling them, I want you to be prepared for this offering that's coming. We say not ye should be ashamed. In this same confident boasting, he said, hey, I done told everybody y'all going to give, so y'all give. All right, you say, preachers ought not to talk about money. Paul ain't begging right here, but he sure is putting some pressure on them. Yep. Amen. Yep. Call it what you want, but he just said, hey, listen, guys, I know y'all are fixing to give a big old offering right here for whatever this thing is that he's trying to take up an offering for. I know so much that y'all going to do it. I done told everybody y'all going to do it. Now, y'all make sure you do it, because if I get there and you don't, everybody going to know. That's tough there, bud. That's tough. Listen to this. Verse number 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, wherever you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness. He said, I'm so concerned about this, I'm sending some people down there to make sure y'all got this thing in order. But this I say, listen to this. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Amen. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Remember earlier when I said I want you to start praying about what you're going to give at the end of this month toward that church building in Scotland? This is what he's talking about right here. This is between you and God. Everything above the tithe, and listen, the tithe is between you and God, but that's a commanded giving. This, what we're talking about now is giving beyond that. This is something that is between you and God. But if you are not sensitive to God, then how could you ever come to this conclusion? Listen to what he says. So let him give, not grudgingly. That means you ain't supposed to do it in a way that makes you unhappy. Not grudgingly. That means you're not supposed to be giving it against your will or of necessity. That means you ain't doing it because you feel like you got to. Check this out. For God loveth a cheerful giver. He's talking to them about giving toward the work of the ministry. He's reminding them to be prepared so that when the time comes, they can give bountifully, but not only bountifully, that they can give joyfully. Did you know that preparation for an offering makes it a whole lot easier to be happy when you give that money? If you wait till the last Sunday of June to decide that you want to give something toward that church in Scotland, I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to be happy with the number that God's going to put on you. You're going to have an internal dialogue going in your own pew where you're saying, Lord, if I give that much, I ain't going to be able to pay the light bill this month. Because, listen, I'm talking about preparation, prayer and preparation. That's why I didn't tell you about it the day before. Amen. Listen to me now. They're not giving, he's telling them, we're not giving just because it's needed. We're not giving just because it's impressive. We're not giving just because we have to. I'm not even asking you to give because it's what I want you to do. And clearly, Paul wants them to do it. I don't see no other way of looking at this chapter. Paul wants them to meet this need. I know how Paul feels right here. I mean, really, because he wants this need to get met. He's serious about it. But he's saying, that's not why I want you to do it. I want you to give because it's going to make God happy.
Amen.
He said, I want you to give because it's pleasing to God. God loves a cheerful giver. He said, I want you to be happy about it because God's happy about it. It'll be a good day in your life, Christian, when you come to the conclusion that things that make God happy can also make you happy.
Amen.
When you come to the place where it makes you happy to do what makes God happy, y'all will both be happy. Amen.
Amen.
Joyful giving. Purposeful giving. Look at Matthew 6. I know I'm giving you a lot tonight, and I'm doing the best I can. Matthew 6. Let me show you this. Matthew 6, beginning in verse number 19. I've quoted this a million times, but I'm going to give it to you tonight. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Listen to this right here, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I would call this type of giving directional giving. Because what Jesus is saying is, I want you to give in a way that creates treasure in heaven, not on earth. And I want you to do it in such a way that it positions your heart in the place where this work is being done. This concept of where your treasure is, there your heart is. Can I say this about the church? There is more to be done here than paying the light bill. There's more to be done here than paying the pastor's salary. There's treasure to be had and to be laid up. Coming in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have Vacation Bible School. There's going to be a bunch of youngins running around this place. And they're going to eat. They're going to play games, and they're going to learn, and they're going to sing. And they're not going to need to bring a dime. We're going to take care of that for them. Because just maybe, there'll be one that'll hear about Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
And for the first time, they'll give.
Amen.
That's treasure in heaven.
Amen.
Maybe, just maybe, there'll be one that comes all week and don't get saved and nothing really happens, but then 10, 15 years down the road when they've got their life into a bad position and they're looking around trying to figure out where do I go to get out of this, they'll remember, hey, what about that place where I went to Vacation Bible School when them people were so nice to me and they loved on me and they took care of me and they made sure I had all my needs met. They made sure I was took care of. That's where I need to go. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen. That's treasure in heaven. Say, so how do we lay up treasure in heaven? Well, there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different things that we can give and give to. Our church supports missionaries. There ain't no telling. One day, I'm telling you, one day, if there was a question, I don't believe that when I stand before God, I'm going to be in much of a way of asking questions. All right? But if I was, one of the things that I'd love to know is what all happened on those mission fields where we've been supporting all this time. I'd love to be able to see, if I could see into a window of what was going on, I'd love to be able to see all, because listen, it's unimaginable.
Amen.
We send money every month. Y'all may not even know this. I'm going to pause this for just a second, this stream for just a second, because this is, you understand what I'm saying? That's treasure being laid up in heaven. But there's other things that you can give. Did y'all know that there's stuff you can give other than money? All the old time preachers preached it like this: your time, your talents, and your treasure. We didn't talk a whole lot about treasure. Let's talk about your time. Remember Bible school I was talking about a while ago? I'm going to do like Paul right here, is guilt trip time. Your talents. I love singing at church. I really do. I love singing with Penelope. And my wife and all that. I love all that. I'll be real with you. I wish somebody else would sing every once in a while. Amen. These people here got talents. You hear me? Talent. That ain't the only kind of talents there are. Y'all, when we walk outside, out there in the back where kids are, and there's that nice shelter where there used to be a big old room full of a nasty, greasy pig cooker. Brother Mike, by the way, please pray for Brother Mike.
Yes.
Brother Mike, You know what he done? He come out here and done that. He never said, hey, preacher, can we get a committee together and sit down and have he said, preacher, do you mind if I come out here and build a shelter? I think it would be a good place to have a shelter. I said, brother, just send me the bill. You know what he did? He didn't send me a bill. He brought me a receipt from Lowe's. He never took a dime in labor on that. You know why? Because it was a gift that he gave the church. You hear me? Talents. Some of y'all can do things that I can't do. And that's a long list of things. Amen. I mean, really. Some of y'all, listen, talents, what can we do? Some of y'all are good. I'm just talking now. Okay, everybody okay? I know it's Sunday night. It's just us. Let me talk a little bit to my church. Some of y'all are good at selling stuff. I got a short bus sitting up there on Holmes Crossroad that needs to be sold. I can't give it away. Some of y'all can sell it. Yeah. Amen. Somebody here knows how to get on them things and get somebody to buy it. Please do it. Amen. That's talent. That's something. Y'all hear me? Some of you, listen now. This is where the rubber meets the road at. Some of you are young and you got strength. And you got abilities. Some of you are old and you're retired. And you know what you got? Time. Time is a valuable commodity. So what can I give, preacher? I ain't got no money. Yeah, but you got time. I wonder when's the last time. You know, people will sit down and look at the checkbook and try to figure out what they can give to the church this month. But I wonder when's the last time you sit down and look at your calendar and try to figure out what you can give this month. Yeah. Did y'all know somebody comes out here and cuts the grass at this church every week? Used to be me. Now somebody else does it. I ain't going to say because he probably don't even want nobody. That ain't the point. Somebody does it. We didn't have a meeting on that. I ain't the meeting guy. Y'all already know that. Listen. Time. There's people. We got people sick. We got people in a nursing home. We got people. Time, man. What can you give? I'm talking about directional giving, purposeful giving, giving for a purpose, making a difference. Some having compassion, making a difference, being compassionate with your time. What are you investing your money in? What are you investing your life in? Because here's what your Bible says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Everybody okay? That means wherever this goes, this goes. So if all my treasure is in the whatever sport I play, that's where my heart's going. If all my treasure's tied up in whatever I like to do for fun, that's where my heart's going to be. I ain't just talking about you. What about this treasure? Your time. If all my time is invested in the other things, then God is an afterthought. The vehicle of God in the New Testament era, the church, becomes an afterthought.
I tell you what you do. Much of the reason, I wrote this down, much of the reason people's heart isn't fully in the work of God is because the things that they invest themselves in financially and physically are not a part of the work of God. You put money on the mission field, that's where your heart will be. I promise you. Listen, you invest your time into Vacation Bible School, that's where your heart will be.
Amen. You invest your time into praying for your church, that's where your heart's going to be.
purposeful giving. I'm talking about giving that means something for a purpose.
Let me use this example, and I'll give you the last thing I'll quit. Okay? I keep coming back to this, but I'm going to keep coming back to this all month. I ain't letting you forget. At the end of this month, we're going to take up an offering to buy this building in Scotland. He said, "Preacher, I won't even ever see that." No, you probably won't. I will. I'm going over there after a yes. You go ahead and write, mark her down. I'm going. You can come with me.
I'm going.
But I'm going. I want to preach in that church that he's buying from the Church of Scotland. I want to preach where some Catholic pompous one stood with his hat on and everything and sat up there in red Latin front. I want to preach and see people get saved up there. That's what I'm doing. Anyway, you call it what you want. I'm just telling you. But here's what I say, "Preacher, I'm never going to see that place. I'm never going to be there. I don't know nothing about that. I ain't never going to Scotland." What difference does that make? I'll tell you what you do. You make up your mind to invest in that work, and I promise you, your heart will be invested in that work. I won't have to come in here and tell you what's going on in Scotland because you already know. I won't have to bring you Brother Jody's prayer letter because you'll be having it sent to your house. You invest in it, and you'll see what God can do. Amen.
Hey, I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to y'all. I'll just be real with you. I believe in leading from the front. I don't tell y'all to do nothing that I ain't telling myself to do.
Right.
Sometimes I preach stuff like this, I feel like I'm putting myself in a position. Because if I'm going to tell you to do it, it means I got to do it. That is purposeful giving. There you can see what that does. Listen to this. Then there's proportional giving. All right,
this is going to be simple. I've already gave you a little bit of this. Matthew 10, here's what Jesus said. "Freely you have received, freely give." Okay?
Are you listening to me? Luke 6, here's what he said.
He said, "Whatsoever measure you meet shall be measured unto you." All right? He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." I don't have time to explain all that, but just understand that means just as much as can possibly be given. Alright? This is what I'm talking about. Proportional giving. So how much should I give? Because this is where Christians get messed up. They start thinking about numbers and fractions, and that tithe will mess people up because it gets them thinking about proportions and all of this stuff. Listen, you really want to be real New Testament, we go to the book of Acts where everybody just came and sold everything they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, amen. I'll take it. Listen, but the principle that Jesus teaches is proportional giving. That is to say, how much should I give, preacher? You should give the way that He gives to you.
Yeah.
Think about that. How much should I invest in the church? Well, how much has He invested in you?
Ooh. Could never give it back.
How much should I do for Jesus? How much has He done for you?
Everything.
Think about that. How important should it be to me? Well, how important do you want to be to Him?
Amen.
How serious should I be about the things of God? Just as serious as you want Him to be about you.
Amen.
This is a principle that Jesus teaches over and over and over and over. Proportional. As I have given, so as I have loved, that's how I want you to love. Be ye holy as I am holy. As I have done, that's what I want you to do. This is over and over and over again. Jesus reiterates this principle in the New Testament. I don't know what the... There's probably some theologian got some fancy word for this, but I'll just call it proportionality. Right? He pours into us so that we can pour into others.
Amen.
And he says to us over and over and over again, just like you see me do it, that's what I want you to do. Just like you've heard me do it, that's what I want you to do. Just like I've given to you, that's how I want you to give. Just like I've invested in you, that's how I want you to invest in the church. Just like I've poured into your life, that's how I want you to pour into the lives of those around you. Just like I've loved you when you didn't deserve it, that's how I want you to love other people when they don't deserve it. Just like I came to you at the uttermost when you didn't deserve it, that's how I want you to go to others. Just like I worked for you and I walked with that cross over my shoulder all the way and went to the finish line for you to the point where it was finished, that's what I want your mindset to be. When he said, if any man compel you to go with him a mile, go with him twain, he was saying, do what I do. Go a little further. Let me tell you what will happen to you when you start doing things like this. When you start living by these principles. Just tell you. And I ain't saying that I've always done this or that I always do this. But I've dabbled. Alright? Okay, if the preacher's real with you. Let me tell you what will happen. People start treating you the way they treated him. They'll say, you're crazy. I can't believe you've done that. That's a cult you're in up there. You know what you should say to them when they say, that's a cult you go to up there? You just say, join us. Come. You know, hey, listen. But I'll tell you this. You won't be near as worried about what everybody else thinks about what you're doing once you're secure in the fact that God knows what you're doing.
Amen.
And that God's proud of what you're doing.
Yes, yeah.
It'll be a whole lot easier to deal with that when you can lay your head on the pillow at night and know I may not be right with all of them, but I sure am right with God.
Amen. Yeah. Scott, can I
go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead.